Praise God. I love Brother Kraft, and you may be seated. I thank him for just talking. I leaned over and told Brother Becton, he's helping me right now just to talk, helping me kind of get my brain together a little bit better. And it's amazing, you know, I've preached here a lot of times in this church to Sunday night with a lot of people, different places. But you get in a meeting like this and everybody's just bombarding your mind and your spirit with so many different directions. After a while, you feel like just crawling under the pew and praying for a few weeks, you know, till you get it all together. But I'm glad for what the Lord has done in my life and in this meeting this week, everybody's ministry. And I feel real comfortable with one thing, that the Lord kind of uses all of us according to our personalities, our own unique ministries, and sometimes in different ways. We do things different ways according to the assignment. We've been given assignments before to do certain things. Brother Mooney was talking about taking out the trash or driving the limousine, you know. Sometimes you get an assignment, and when you first get that assignment, you think, you got to be kidding. I'm supposed to do that. And right at first, you don't know whether that assignment is going to be enjoyable, what it's going to do to you, what it's going to mean. But you do the assignment because you're supposed to, and it all turns out okay. Well, if I have found out what the Lord wants me to talk about today, and I believe I have, when he first kind of put it in my mind, it was one of those things I said, you got to be kidding. I want to talk to you about leaven today. I told Brother Butler, now why, you know, of all the different conferences I've ever been to, never heard anybody really just talk about leaven very much. So here's my good friend, Jeff Butler, you know, went to Bible school with him, who jumps up and preaches about leaven. And when the Lord put it in my mind, I thought, leaven? What is there to say about leaven? So I want to find out. And so I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, speaking at one of these meetings like this does something to you. I was real careful today. Tied my tie one extra time to make sure it was the right length, you know. And made sure my t-shirt didn't have a hole in it. Got ready to leave. My wife said, you better take an extra tie today. I guess, I don't know if that was because of what happened last night, or she said, no, really, you might spill something on it at lunch. So these kind of things, they really do something to you, you know. But I want to share what the Lord has put in my heart with you. And I hope it helps you. And I want to be a blessing. I want the Lord to speak through me. I do believe God is speaking to the church. There are some things that He wants to accomplish in us in this day. And I want to be in step with God. I want to hear from Him. I want to be what He wants me to be. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, reference to the Passover, in a spiritual sense. Not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I want to talk to you today about purging out the leaven in our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, I am so grateful to you, God, for what you've done this week. Thank you, Lord, for things you've spoken to us, oh God. Deep in our spirits that have affected us, oh God. I pray in Jesus' name today that you would let your word become a word for us. Anoint us, oh God, every speaker this afternoon. Let it be fit together, oh God, to the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Do your work through me, I ask, and in our hearts. And everybody said amen. Amen. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Bible, leaven represents a tendency working invisibly. It isn't always negative. It's not necessarily always positive. It depends on the context of the passage. In Matthew 13, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It begins very small. It's invisible. It's insignificant. You don't think very much of it, but you put it in the world, and in time it will have its effect, and it will spread to fill the whole earth. He was talking about the positive effect of the kingdom of God like leaven. It's a tendency that works invisibly. There are other places in the Bible that speak of leaven as evil. Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." It is a tendency that works inside of us, in the church, in the world, and in some instances, it's negative. And I want to deal with the negative aspect of leaven today and how it corrupts or changes the purity of what God originally intends for us to be. In Exodus 12, when the Lord instituted the Passover with the Paschal lamb that was to be eaten, He also talked about the Passover supper. He talked about eating this unleavened bread. He said, on the 14th day of the first month, you're going to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. You're going to go through your whole house and look through every place you can find in every nook and cranny, and you're going to get all the leaven that you can find, and you're going to get it out of your house, because I want you to eat unleavened bread. We know that they didn't have time to raise their bread when they left Egypt. The Lord wanted them to eat unleavened bread. So He said, that's the thing I want you to do. I want you to eat this unleavened bread. Leavened bread was a reminder. It was a type of the corruption, the bondage of Egypt. It was a mentality that they had in Egypt that God wanted to purge out of Israel. So He said, you're going to eat this unleavened bread. It's a type of the new life that's free from corruption, free from any impurity. If a person, whether they were a stranger or someone that was born in Israel, was to eat leaven during those 7 days, they were to be cut off from Israel because they had disobeyed God. So in Exodus, we see leaven as a symbol of past bondage and corruption. Leaven's bad. I'm talking about the bad effects of evil leaven in your life, and the Lord said it's not a good thing. Amos the prophet talked about a situation with some leaven. Israel had departed from the Lord. They were being disobedient to His commandments. And the Lord said, you've done something that's very bad. I told you back in Leviticus 7 that when you came to offer a freewill offering, now a freewill offering involved leaven and unleavened bread. You didn't just bring unleavened at a freewill offering, you brought them both. And He said, when you come and bring this freewill offering, you just do it whenever you want to. Whenever you feel it, give it. But in Amos, we see a group of people who had corrupted what God had commanded and asked them to do. And so, they took these unleavened cakes along with the leaven. And really what God wanted them to do, He said, you bring the leavened cakes. You give one to the priest who sprinkles the blood. And you eat the rest of them at a sacrificial meal. And then you take these unleavened cakes and you offer them to the Lord as an offering. But you never in the Bible were supposed to offer to God anything that was leavened in the sense of being burned on the altar. You had to be unleavened. Well, these people in Amos were so far from God that they began to take these leavened cakes along with the unleavened cakes and they were offering all of it to God. It was some kind of a pretending spirituality. They were trying to convince God that they were really spiritual. So instead of just offering these cakes, we're going to give this much to you. We're going to give all of this to you, and you'll be pleased because of all the sacrifice we're offering to you. Not only did they do that, that was not their only mistake. But then, they took and they the thing that God intended to be spontaneous, the thing that God intended to be out of your heart, was corrupted. Israel, in their backslidden condition, put this freewill offering on a schedule. They commanded it to be done. It was something that was required by the priests of the people. It wasn't something that was beautiful and spontaneous. God blessed some Israelite, and so He said, oh, I just want to go offer a freewill offering to the Lord. I want to show God how much I appreciate Him. But it became a drudgery. It became an obligation. It became something that they had to do in order to please God and to please the priests who were taking advantage of them. And I want to stop here to say that I wonder if we have been leavened in our day and the beauty of the church has been corrupted and made impure. And we bring to God things out of obligation. And the spontaneity that the church began with has been stolen away. Sometimes we offer praises to God almost as if we're trying to buy God. And He said, it makes you happy. He said, this you love. You love to come show how many cakes you've offered me. And you love to get this all ritualized and figured out. But He said, Leviticus 22, He said, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will or as you feel you want to. I pray to God that we never take the I want to, the spontaneity out of our relationship to God. Hallelujah. God, help us. I love you, Jesus. He said, you love this appearance of religion. God said, I've done some things because of all of this. Not just these things, but all of your sins. So you won't need to be brushing your teeth this week. Because you're not going to have anything to eat. And I've sent you cleanness of teeth. There's a famine in your land because of your disobedience and your rebellion to me. And not only that, He said, I've kept the rain back when it's just 3 months to the harvest. He said, you've gone out there and you planted, you plowed, you did everything that humanly you could do to bring about a crop. And in 3 months, the harvest, which took place in the latter part of April, somewhere in May and June, it was in full swing. Just 3 months from the time when the harvest was supposed to come, when you were in anticipation of some rain to come down out of heaven, something you couldn't produce. He said, I've withheld that rain. He said, your crops are going to fail. I started looking into that and studying it out, and I found out that the rain that came 3 months before the harvest was called the latter rain. It was the rain that was so important for that corn to really develop inside the ear and for all the grain to come to its fullest sense. And He said, because you've offered leaven to me, because you've taken away the spontaneity out of your relationship to me, I've sent you a famine, and I've withheld the rain that you've been needing so badly to bring about your harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus said to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You need to watch out for it. Back in Amos, when God said, I withheld the rain, He said, I've gone another step farther. He said, I've sent you selective rain. He said, I let it rain on one city, and in several cities there's no rain. So you know that I can make it rain if I wanted to. But He said, people, you just wander from two or three cities to one city just to get enough water to sustain yourself, but yet you're not satisfied. When I read that, I wondered if there was something going on today among us. I wonder if we've been leavened. I wonder if there are some things that have come in and infected the church and began to change the purity of what we are. I wonder if God has withheld the latter rain that we're dependent on to bring about the harvest of the end time. I wonder, and I just wonder if God has allowed selective rain to fall in various places so people would wander from two or three cities to one city to try to say, is this where it's at? Where can it happen? And God said, I did all of this to get you to turn back to me, but you would not. Let's love the Lord right now. Let's ask Him to take out the leaven of our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Leaven in your life can prevent the blessings of God from getting to you, from reaching you. And that's what they did in Amos. God said, cleanness of teeth, no rain, and even worse, I've sent selected rain to just let you know. I could if I wanted to. If you do what you were supposed to do, it really would rain. There really would be a harvest. The latter rain really would fall. You really would have what I wanted to give you. I said a minute ago that Jesus said to beware of the leaven. The Pharisees. Now, the leaven of the Pharisees, He He said in Luke 12 and 1 was hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is to be a religious pretender, to be an actor like on a stage. Someone who's playing the part but isn't the real person. And God said that's the problem with the Pharisees. He said, Isaiah was really telling the truth when he wrote about you. He said, with your mouth you honor me, and with your lips, but your heart is far from me. He said, you worship me in vain, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. He said, that's what you Pharisees are. In Matthew 23, he condemned the Pharisees for their religious externalism. I want you to notice that God never condemned their externalism, but he condemned them because they omitted the weightier matters of the law. He said, you strain at a gnat, but you swallow a camel. He said, when you're going to drink your beverage, you get out the little cloth and you put it over top of there and you pour that beverage through that little strainer because you don't want to get any gnats in anything that you're doing. That's not a bad idea. I don't believe God condemns outward holiness, and I don't want anybody to misinterpret me today because I believe in it. I believe it's important. I believe it's vital. I don't think we need any gnats in our lives. But God said the thing that disgusts me is that you're so particular about small things, and yet you sit down at a meal of uncleanness and you cram it in your mouth. You're eating camels that are unclean, and there's so much inconsistency in you. He said, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. What about doing right? What about loving your brother? What about walking humbly with your God? He said, I'm looking for somebody that'll take the leaven out of their lives, that'll put the spontaneity back in your relationship to Him. Name. Hallelujah. You just can't be too careful about leaven. You can't even allow just a little bit of it to get in your life. Hallelujah. Remember a few years ago, there was a family in our church. Kay Woodward used to make sourdough biscuits. That was another one of Brother Kraft's biscuit makers. And Kay would bring sourdough biscuits occasionally. And she had a sourdough starter that went back years. I wish I could remember how many years her sourdough starter had been in her refrigerator. And so she gave some of that sourdough starter, some of that yeast, you know, that leaven to my wife, and we put it in our little refrigerator there. And you know what? You had to feed that stuff. You really did. It was like an animal. It was like a pet. In our refrigerator was a little thing of this sourdough starter, and you'd have to go in, and my wife looked up the recipe, and you'd have to put a cup of flour and a half a cup of water. You'd have to put 3 tablespoons of sugar. You'd have to feed that stuff, and it'd grow right in your refrigerator. I mean, it didn't just sit there. It wasn't static. It was dynamic. It did something. And you couldn't put it in contact with flour because it would affect it. I mean, leaven is powerful stuff. And we had that in our refrigerator, and we'd have to thin it out and throw it away, and we fed it all the time like you're supposed to, you know. And it just grew. And in the broadest negative sense, leaven in the church or in your life is anything that will corrupt away from you the purity and the simplicity of life and of your relationship to God. And that's what I want to get to today about purging out the old leaven. I wish that God would help us to understand the danger of leaven. It doesn't take very much to begin to infiltrate your mind. Sometimes it could be just a long look, or a lingering thought, or reading the wrong thing, or allowing the wrong thought processes to get a hold of your mind. And those things begin to work like leaven in dough, and they begin to poison and pervert the purity that can be in us, that God put in us. Hallelujah. Leaven is born of corruption. Something's dying when it leavens. There's something that's happening there of a fermentation. And everything it touches, it corrupts. It unleavened. It's purity. And so Paul is writing to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And he said, you guys got a problem at Corinth. You've got incest there. And he said, in spite of the sin in your church, you're still all puffed up. So you got a sin there. And I'm not saying that you love the sin, but in spite of this thing existing among you, in spite of this impurity in your midst, you still think you're something. And he said, your glorying is not good. Don't you know that just if you leave that little bit of leaven and impurity in the church, that it's going to permeate the church, it's going to affect your whole life? Purge out the old leaven. Get it out. Get it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the old leaven is a remnant of our old life. It's a remnant of sin. It's a reminder of Egypt. There's another leaven that he talks about of malice and wickedness. It means evil-mindedness or having an evil heart. It's the opposite of sincerity and truth. And the Lord said you need to not live this life with this unleavened, with this leavened bread. You need to get it out. You need to get it out. You need to purify yourself. Hallelujah. Sincerity is an interesting word. And when I started looking into the word sincerity, I found out that this word sincerity in this passage in 1 Corinthians 5 means something, a thing that has been examined by the sun's light and found pure and unadulterated. It's not something that you think is pure. It's something that's been examined by sunlight. I mean, you've really scrutinized it. And when you got through, you found out that it was pure and unadulterated. And Paul said, we need to keep this feast. We need to keep this Christian life. Not with the old leaven. Not with the leaven of malice and wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I want to talk to you about this for the next few minutes. About sincerity and truth. If there's anything that we need today, it is a baptism of sincerity. I will never forget being 16 years old and God beginning to deal with my heart. I wasn't thinking about sermons or preaching. I can't even say that at that point I was thinking about being a soul winner. But I just know that God began to deal with me. And I kind of have that as a reference point in my life that I go back to as a time when I feel God examined me with sunlight and found me pure. I believe my motives were pure. My heart was pure. I didn't know how to gesture. I didn't understand homiletics. I didn't know very much about... I didn't really understand how to study the Bible like I should. And I'm not knocking that because I'm going to talk about truth in a few minutes. But I really believe that there was a time in my life that was unadulterated and pure. And I can remember walking up and down the sidewalk beside my house on 291 West 32nd Street, Hialeah, Florida. Nobody was out there, and just walking up and down the sidewalk and sitting on my old car and praying. And I see God's blessing coming down on me and tears just falling. And in that time in my life, I remember trips to the altar that I could not explain. Just felt like God was just working on me. I almost wanted to hold up a sign that said, I didn't really sin this week. I don't understand why I'm going down to the altar. I'm just going down to the altar. And I would fall on the altar and just be broken. And pray and pray and just cry and weep my heart out. I think at that point in my life, I was unleavened. I really do. I think I was unleavened. I can remember services. Sitting in the choir loft and sinners would be in the congregation. I don't know that I felt burdens any stronger since then than I did then. Falling on my face and praying that God would fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. It was so pure and it was so sincere. And I know God saw that. And I look at the church. Just reread it a little while ago today. I believe this church started out in 11. In the book of Acts, they had all things common. You need something? Oh, that's no problem. Nobody thought that anything that they had was their own. But they had all things common. If you had a need and I had something, what I had was yours. There was fellowship. There was not just a mutual interest in the gospel, but there was a mutual interest in one another. There was sincerity in that church. It was unleavened. It was pure. Hallelujah. I believe so much that God is looking down on us. And
And he's looking for a sincere people to use in this day, for an unleavened people. And I think sometimes we become like the Jews in John 6 when they said, we've got Abraham to our father. You know, I've got a heritage. My grandfather's God had the Holy Ghost, and my great-grandmother had the Holy Ghost, and we live for God. I've been in the church all my life. I was raised in the church, and Abraham's my father. And Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, you would do the works of Abraham. And I just have been asking God, and I wish God would help us in this conference, and not just in here. There's such a beautiful spirit here, you know. You're going to preach, and God laid this on my heart, and you think, man, what a purity. What am I going to say that's any more beautiful than what God has already done? But just open your heart, and I'm going to open my heart. And I wish God would come and give us a sincerity and a purity, that we would go back to God, that we would get all the complicatedness and all the leaven out of our lives. We would take it all away. Hallelujah. I pray that God would do it. Luke said that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica. They received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. They just had an open mind. They were just there. They said, God, whatever it is that you want to say, Lord, we're willing to listen. We're willing. Hallelujah, God. Get the leaven out of our lives. Get the leaven out of our lives. I think maybe some of the leaven that's come into our lives is the entanglements that we have with the affairs of this life. When the Apostle Peter wrote, he said, I beseech you, I beg you, as pilgrims and strangers, to lay all this stuff out of your life. That word there, stranger, means someone that owns a house and a place, but he doesn't have a citizenship there. Paul said, not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, that we can please he who the man who's enlisted us. And I'm talking to preachers right now. I'm talking to me. I wonder if we've been leavened by things of this world that have entangled us, and they've wrapped their tentacles around us, and they've attached themselves to us. And some of the unleavened purity that should be in our life has gotten all mixed up with things of this world, and we've forgotten the real main thing that God called us to do. God, get the leaven out of my life. Purge me, God. Take it all away. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Paul said that some preach. They preach. They preach Christ. But they preach Him of contention, not sincerely. And he said, let's preach Him sincerely. Let's purge out the leaven from our lives and go back to God. Let there be sincerity. And then Paul said, let us keep this feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity is not enough. If a hunter walks out on a frozen river, it's not how thick he thinks the ice is that's going to determine whether or not he can make it to the other side. It's the basis, it's the real fact of what he's standing on. And so we in the church are standing on the truth. And I am praying and I'm asking and I'm talking about it right now. Asking God to give us a revival for the love of truth. I remember just last year, a missionary came to JCM and he preached a message in chapel. It was sound. It was doctrinally right. It was sincere. I mean, you could tell that he really felt it. It was good. And it was spiritual. There was an anointing there, but it wasn't sensational. And I watched some of our guys that sat there, and it was almost like, when's he going to give us an awesome illustration? When is he going to blow our minds? And I sat there, and my heart broke. And I thought, here's this guy that doesn't know any better about Americans and about the leaven that's gotten in our lives toward truth. It kind of bothers me when we get more impressed by the illustration than the thing being illustrated. But the illustration of truth, more than the truth itself. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it, because I understand that the truth is the power of God unto salvation. I understand by the Psalms that it is His truth that endures to all generations. I also understand that we are sanctified by His Word that is truth. And I am asking God, help me fall in love with the truth all over again. The Word of God, to love it, to eat it, to get by the living out of my life, and let there be simplicity and a purity in my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I saw something in the paper today that sounds like something Brother Mooney would do. In fact, I gave him a copy of this to take home. I said, you'll like this, Brother Mooney. This is you. So I'm reading this for Brother Mooney. Preacher's gimmick loses bite. Anybody see this in today's Jackson paper? Just kind of glancing over the paper this morning, you know? Carbondale, Illinois. Baptist minister Paul Wren liked to really sink his teeth into his mission, promoting his sermons by lifting the heaviest member of the audience with his mouth. This is powerful now. But he bit off more than he could chew when, using a special leather mouthpiece, he pulled up a 385-pound coal miner and lost 5 front teeth. With the mouthpiece that I had, I didn't want to lift him, the 5 foot 10 inch, 335-pound preacher said Wednesday in Clarksville, Tennessee. I wanted him to jump on my stomach, but his boy said he had a bad leg and couldn't jump, said Wren, 40. It didn't hurt or anything. I was more embarrassed than anything else. Wren was in Carbondale Sunday speaking at the Southern Illinois Bible and Evangelism Conference, kind of a little conference like we're having here, you know. Wren managed to lift Pierce about 5 inches. Then the mouthpiece slipped, and Pierce crashed, leaving Wren's front teeth dangling from his mouth. After his 30-minute sermon, I wish I could have been there, he needed 8 shots of pain deadener before the roots could be extracted. Wren... This has happened. This is in today's paper. Wren said, with only 24 feet teeth, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep up the teeth lifting. Maybe I'll scratch around and try to come up with something to take the place. What about preaching the truth? I wonder if some of the things we do are not equivalent to that, to try to get God to come and to try to bring about the rain that we need to bring revival. When the truth will set people free, it really will work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgive me for reading all these things, but I want to read this one more thing that just really gets a hold of me. It's called The Last Words of John Robinson. In his farewell address to the Pilgrim Fathers on their departure from Holland for America, John Robinson said, "The Lord knoweth whether I shall ever see your face more. But whether the Lord hath appointed that or not, I charge you before God and His blessed angels to follow me no further than I have followed Christ. If God should reveal anything to you by any other instrument of His, be as ready to receive it as you ever were to receive any truth by my ministry. For I am confident that the Lord hath more truth and light yet to break forth out of His holy word. For my part," he said, "I cannot sufficiently bewail the condition of the Reformed churches, who are come to a period on religion and will go no further than the instruments of their reformation. The Lutherans cannot be drawn to go any farther than what Luther saw. And the Calvinists, you see, stick fast where they were left by that great man of God, who yet say not all things. This is a misery much to be lamented, for though they were burning or shining lights in their time, yet they penetrated not into the whole counsel of God, but were they now living, would be as willing to embrace further light as that which they first received." The sad thing about this movement is that they parked on the same corner that their leader parked on. I believe we have all the truth that there is about how to get saved. But I don't believe we've got all the truth there is that God wants to bring to this church. Hallelujah. And what I want to say to you today, what I've been trying to say, is that God would love to come in and purge us of all the unleavened, of our ideas, of impure motives, and bring back into the church a freshness and of purity, that God's shining, examining light can come into us. And after examining, we could be found pure before Him. And that there would be in us a love for the truth of the Word of God. Then I believe that the rain that God has withheld would come. I really believe it would. If we could get back the heart in this church. If we could get the spirit and the spontaneity. If we could get the leaven out and we can get back to what God really wants the church to be. Then I believe the latter rain would fall. And there would be a harvest that would overwhelm us. The thing that we had prayed for. Let's stand and ask God to do that for us right now. Let's stand and ask Him to come and do it in our lives. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would move in me, Lord. Move in me, oh God, I pray. I am convicted by my own words, oh God. Why don't you pray just a few minutes now? We've got a little bit of time here to ask God to purge us out. Purge out the old leaven. Let us keep this feast. Let us keep living and doing the work of God. But not with the leavened bread, the old leaven, nor with the leavened bread of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Baptize us, O God, with sincerity. Baptize us, O God, with the love for the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's love Him now. I want God to do something in me. I want God to do something in my life. That I could be cleansed and fit for service in His kingdom in this last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.